This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, here with my sister-in-law, Laura.
Hello, hello.
We are excited to talk gift giving today.
Yeah.
And hopefully a little bit about gratefulness and definitely a lot about the gospel too.
hopefully.
But before we jump into that, just a reminder that Advent season is here.
It's upon us.
Upon us.
Do you like that? Upon us.
So definitely check out our website, risenmotherhood.com, for ideas of what to do during Advent. We've got some roundups on our social media. We have articles. We have podcasts. We've got a lot of ideas for ways to make this season not more rushed, not more stressful, but hopefully peaceful, intentional, and a good reminder of Christ. So check that out.
Yeah, it's a good time to implement it. You still got like a week or so. But in light of that, all of our kiddos are busy working on their Christmas list, which they've been adding to all year.
I think my kids started their Christmas list in July. Let's be honest.
January?
They started right after Christmas.
Mom, next Christmas.
And I've been using that excuse with my kids since the summer too of why we're not getting something, because Christmas is coming up.
That's exactly right. My son the other day was like, Christmas takes forever, because I kept saying that. So, you know, we all love Christmas, but as moms, there's definitely a sort of an angst that can come out, especially when you become a mom and realize the selfish spirit that can come out of your child, which you know is in you too, but they're just not as good at hiding it. And I know Emily and I have both experienced things like this, but when there is a child crying at a family Christmas in front of all sorts of people and the present opening is over and suddenly they're just bawling. Like, what? No more presents?
Nothing I got is good enough. I played with that toy for 35 seconds and now I'm over it. And you just feel so frustrated. And I don't know at what age this stops a little bit, but it is really hard because there have been years too, I don't know about you, Laura, where we've really tried to prep our kids.
Yes.
Like, here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to stop. We're going to say thank you. We're going to give everyone hugs. We're going to be very grateful. And even with all the training, you know, it's just part of their heart that takes a long time to uproot.
Yeah, it's real humbling as a mom, let's be real. So a question we do often get asked along the same vein is, how do I instill gratefulness in my kids? And we get asked this question in all sorts of ways. I mean, birthday parties or service projects or summer vacations, and it always pops up around Christmas time because of all the gifts and indulgences that our kids get. And while, as we just shared, we don't really have the answer for how to instill the gratefulness in our kids, because we are still working on that. We don't have proof quite yet. But one angle we want to look at today is a pretty specific angle that we chose to go with, but it's something that we hear a lot of people ask in preparation for like the Ask Us Anything show, or we'll get random emails about it quite a bit, is how do you deal with maybe the grandparent or the aunt or uncle or another family member or friend that wants to love on your kids by giving them, you know, tons of gifts or deviating from sort of your carefully curated list. Maybe they get the light up toy that blares music at 5 million decibels for 20 minutes straight. Maybe they're just giving your kids something you deem a little bit too extravagant and you don't really know what to do with that. Or maybe it's something that you've actually expressly forbidden and it might be potentially harmful to your child, or just something that falls on similar lines. So there are a lot of different ways that this gift giver can manifest in your life. So we just kind of want to set up this show today so that you understand the show isn't necessarily about like how you or your husband give gifts to instill gratitude, because that's fairly easy to control your own purchasing decisions. But we want to talk a little bit about how the gospel applies and meets us when we have someone else in our life that can be a frustrating gift giver. Is that okay? Is that an okay way to put it?
That's definitely where a lot of times we start with our thinking is thinking it's frustrating.
You might not be so frustrated after this show.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
And before we jump in any further, we want to just recognize that like not everyone has this quote unquote problem, and that this really wouldn't be a problem to a lot of you. You'd think this would be a great issue to have if I had relatives and people in my kids' life who were showering them with gifts. Or maybe Christmas is a really hard time of year because you feel like you're just trying to make ends meet and you would love to be able to gift a little bit more extravagant things to your kids or just give them any gifts at all. And so I think that's a good perspective for all of us to bear in mind, no matter where you're at, is that like, this is something to be grateful for, and we shouldn't take for granted the fact that we can give our children things and good gifts, just like God gives us good gifts. And so we hope that no matter where you're at, that you can get some gospel encouragement from this show today and know that there's broad application to a variety of different scenarios.
Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of mom philosophies on giving gifts. Emily, what are some of the ones that you can think of?
Yeah, I know that one that became popular in the last few years, I think we tried it one year, was like, oh, you get them something they want, something they need, something they wear, something they read.
And
they're all categorized, or there's only a 3+ present rule because that's how many presents Jesus got.
Jesus got to model that.
Or maybe you feel like, oh, they need to all be minimal and organic and wood toys from a Narnian tree.
Yes, give me that.
Sometimes it's things like no electronics, nothing with small pieces, only learning toys. Okay, I will... Brad's probably going to laugh when he hears this. My husband fits into this category of like, get them things they need. Mm-hmm. Like in the summer, he'll start to be like, why don't you start writing a list? Like our kids need more black socks.
And very specific.
I'm like, rah, rah, you know?
Yeah. When they open that, what are they going
to
think?
So he is very much like, Christmas is the time to get those needs met and, and get all the things we're going to buy at the store for the next year. And some of you guys don't think too hard about it at all, but overall you just, you know, maybe you have limitations to how many toys you want to see coming through your door, or you're just still trying to figure out what to do with the ones that are spilling out of your bins. And so the thought of getting more gifts around Christmas is pretty daunting.
Yeah. So we totally get all this. As Emily shared, we have been these moms at a variety of points in our lives, and we've tried the same things as probably many of you have, with having kind of restrictions or kind of hinting to somebody like, these are the things that we prefer. And when someone doesn't necessarily listen to that list, sometimes it can leave us feeling, you know, hurt by the fact that they don't seem to care about what you're trying to teach your children or the gratitude that you're trying to instill in them. Sometimes it leaves us really frustrated because we just were not respected, or we felt not respected in our wishes. Sometimes we're vindictive. We want to pay them back for not being as kind to us as we want. Maybe we give them the silent treatment, or we withdraw our kids from relationship. And sometimes this is sort of leading up to the great Christmas event. We'll feel nervous or anxious. We'll be worried about what each year will bring and feel like, oh, will our kids ever be generous or grateful because they have that one person in their life that seems to spoil them? So what do we do with those feelings? And that's what we want to talk through today. Like, how do we handle gift giving that doesn't seem to align with our personal philosophies? And should we be worried when someone comes into our child's life and seems to spoil them with Christmas presents?
I think the first thing we want to remember when we're considering like this lavish gift giver, or somebody who's just so excited to love on our kids with gifts that they don't even like adhere to our list because they saw this cool toy and they impulse buy.
gotta get it.
Yeah. It's just to remember, like, the most lavish gift giver ever is God himself. He is constantly giving his children good gifts that they don't deserve, especially to whiny, complaining, ungrateful children. And like, in his common grace, people who reject him and despise him and are his enemies, he is giving them good things in their life here on earth, even before people have come to Christ. I mean, think of the beauty of creation, the joy of the relationships we have. And then to his redeemed children, he gives the most costly gift ever, which is Christ himself. And so whenever we're feeling like frustrated about someone else's generous or lavish giving to like someone who's potentially ungrateful or not comprehending it, like, I do think there's a point where we need to stop and remember, like, that is how God is towards us. Like, he did it first. And so if anything, that can point us back to God and just be really grateful for the ways, like, we don't deserve his amazing gifts. We're not always grateful for his generosity or his lavish giving, but like, we are created like him in some respects. And that comes out in people in all different ways because we were created to image him.
Preach it, Emmy. I like
that's
it.
That's a hard one to swallow.
It is a hard one.
Because you just think like, oh, it's this person who's being indulgent, but you know,
I love it when she kind of gets on a soapbox like that. It's always good. And so now we're going to walk through some of the fears from a mom's perspective and how you can find hope in the gospel.
Okay, so first we fear, I think we already alluded to this, our children are going to be spoiled. They are going to turn into ungrateful, materialistic little people because of you, person.
And but we've all thought that even because of ourselves, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I have had moments like the Christmas gift cry of, you know, 2017 or whatever year it was, when I've thought, oh my word, I'm not doing enough.
I've ruined my children.
Yes, they're going to be ungrateful, materialistic people.
So the gospel truth there is that the reality is God is the only one who can turn a heart from death to life. And so the gospel knows no bounds. He can reach even the most selfish person. And we all are, apart from Christ, we all are selfish. There isn't like, I'm going to spoil them a little bit worse. We already have that inside of us. And God can transform us and continue to work on us by the power of the Holy Spirit and our children too. So we want to trust God to be the author of our child's faith, not us. And just to keep that in mind as we're thinking that, hey, if I just twist the knob on some of these external circumstances, I will be able to do the deep heart transforming work. We might be able to change behavior, but that deep heart work belongs to God.
Yeah. And just on a practical note, I mean, remember that you're to disciple your child in the things of the Lord, and you're going to be doing that hopefully around 365 days a year. So a lavish gifting, a presence once or twice a year from a person who, you know, is kind of going off of your list, it's not going to undo all the other time you've spent investing in them. So that's just like one thing to keep in mind, that they can't undo all of the efforts that you're doing over the work of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Another concern is we are just worried we are maybe going to be replaced by someone else who is more generous or fun towards our child. So one gospel truth to remember is that hopefully we want Christ to win our children's full affections, not ourselves. Like, we are going to fall short. We are going to fail to meet our children's needs and even their wants and their desires and their relationship with us. Like, that is going to happen. We're going to fall short. But Christ gives of himself, and he is the greatest gift our children can ever receive. That should even make the most amazing gift giver kind of pale in comparison.
Yeah. And when we feel insecure, just to be reminded and asking yourself, hey, where am I finding my identity? Is it in Christ and his acceptance of me? Because when we humbly observe his sacrifice, we don't live for a love of ourselves or a love from others, aka our children in this instance. We can live for him, knowing that our reward is ultimately in heaven, and whatever's happening in the moment, you know, is momentary and it's not eternal.
Mm-hmm. Something I do in this scenario is often remember back to my own childhood and think, like, nobody was competing for those relationships with my parents. Like, even if my grandparents gave me really great presents, it wasn't like, oh, I love them more, and that replaced the role. Like, parents and then everyone else, like, there's just a difference of relationship there, a difference of influence. Parents are the ones giving kids stability and routine, who they trust to care for their needs, and everyone else just holds a different spot. And so I think just on a practical level, we can just breathe and know, like, I don't know.
Like, when your kid skins their knee, where are they gonna go? That's the question, you know?
Again, this holiday or something is probably not going to, like, uproot that whole relationship.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Another fear that we can feel is we feel insecure about our own abilities to give good gifts, and we feel maybe a little competitive with another person, or maybe competitive with the culture at large. So what we mean by this is that sometimes our insecurities can come out because maybe we want to give our kids the same gifts that this person is giving, but we can't afford to give our children the hottest toy of the season. Or maybe out of pride, we just want to look more successful in front of other people, but we're not able to at this point financially. And a gospel truth to remind ourselves of in these times is that we rise or fall before the throne of God alone. And so when we're feeling that competitiveness with another person, what we're doing ultimately is saying, hey, this is my standard of goodness. In order to be a good mom, I have to give this certain gift, or I have to outgive this other gift giver. And we're not actually looking at the real standard of what a good mom is, which is actually the holiness of God. And so we can recognize that our good standing is actually only by the grace of God that we can even stand in his presence. And our differences with another person is a great opportunity to learn and to grow, and for your child to see that as well. God works in unique ways in individuals. He's blessed them in different ways. And so let's rejoice in other people's giftings and the way they want to love on our kids.
And I think also remembering, like you were saying, Laura, with standards, that there isn't this hard and fast rule with how to give good gifts with our children and to be generous. Like, giving can look like non-material things as well, and giving experience experiences or a nice letter to our children or whatever. And Jesus was exemplifying this here on earth by pouring out and giving of his very self. And so whenever we think, oh, my gifting to my children isn't going to look this certain way, we can still go to the Lord and ask how we can express love and generosity towards those in our care, even if it's going to look different than what the culture says it should look like.
Yeah. And on a practical note, I mean, this one's pretty hard, at least for me. You know, this may be to that overly generous gift giver, let's call them, to write a thank you note to that person who gave all of those extra things, even if you're kind of looking at them and feeling like, why are all those light up toys in my toy bins right now? Or maybe have your child write a thank you note. That's just good practice, period. And also choosing to engage in and displaying authentic joy as your child opens those gifts, like that is a true show of a heart that is soft to the Lord and like that is soft to understanding and knowing that your identity rests in him and not in your ability to give good gifts.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I think one of the fears or things that we struggle with is just feeling out of control. Like, reality is we have preferences. We want them to actually be donating towards our child's college fund. We actually want them to be giving money to an organization with a little in lieu of, you know, this light up toy. That way your child can learn generosity. I mean, we joke about it, but when it gets down to it, it's that we feel unheard. It feels like, oh, this person isn't supporting the way that I want to parent. And I think in general, the gospel meets us when we are angry and feeling like our wishes are not being met. We're really just angry that we're not being treated like God himself. He is the one who's worthy of all worship and praise. And while we would like to be the king or queen of the universe and perfectly control everything in our child's environment, we cannot. God wants us to submit to him and learn to be grateful in all things and know that rules and standards and expectations and meeting those things is not what's going to make us ultimately happy. Only God himself is going to do that. And he really has the best plan for our family and all of the knowledge and the resources to make that possible.
Yeah. And so a practical thing to ask yourself is, hey, is this a gray area? Is this really something that I should go to bat on? Or how can I best love both parties, both my child and the gift giver? So that's just a quick one to evaluate where the status of your heart is. And then on a practical front, toy rotation, I mean, that's pretty awesome. You know, if you're getting way too many gifts, rotate those toys. Another thing is to give toys away. I know a lot of moms implement a, hey, you received 8 toys, you need to give 8 toys away or whatever that may be.
Yeah. And we also want to recognize like there really are situations where someone is giving your child a gift that is potentially dangerous, harmful, immoral, illegal, or something that requires your investment like financially over and over again. And so there are situations where conversations need to be had. Maybe gifts need to not be received. Things need to be put to a halt. Particularly, this may even be something like electronics, where somebody's giving your child a full internet access gift and you're like, hey, we're not there yet as a family and we don't think that's appropriate for our child to have. Like, it is okay to approach those conversations in love because some people may have good intentions in giving those. Some may not. And we know that there are definitely those times when you need to be firm and have healthy boundaries.
Yeah. And we know that like not everyone has great relationships with this gift giver. And so if you do plan on talking with them about it, here's a couple of just quick guidelines, but we do talk about this more in the Grandparents in the Gospel show, especially like how to navigate a harder discussion with, you know, that could be the principles we share there to anyone who you need to talk with. But the first thing is just talk with your husband and get his opinion. You know, should this really be that important to you? And I think that right there eliminates a lot of the issues and it will tell you very quickly, hey, we should talk about this. And then take time to pray about it. Seek counsel from someone who is wiser. Then consider what impact it's going to have on the relationship. Weighing those pros and cons is really important for any conversation. And then have something to say. You know, write it down, have some alternatives for them and a game plan. A lot of times some people just need educated and they're not really getting the jokes or the eye rolls or the list. They don't really understand that like you actually care about the list. So if you can, have some alternatives so that they understand like you're serious about this, but you know, you want them to continue giving to your child, but it just needs to be within certain boundaries. And then another one is don't do it in the heat of the moment. So I know that that's a probably a temptation for all of us. So don't do it at Christmas. Don't do it at a birthday. Wait a little while and then bring it up with them. And before you do, take time to just affirm them. Everyone's more welcome or warm to taking criticism if you affirm them prior. And then recognize, hey, they're probably not going to be perfect after one conversation. And this is where we just remember to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. So as you have these conversations, we hope that these are just some tools to equip you through them. But yeah, it's hard. We understand. We don't want to make light of this, that always it's so easy and just take it in. But I think that there are times more often than not where we can let things go and trust that, like, hey, God's going to continue working on our child's heart, even if they get all these gifts. But of course, proper boundaries are really important.
Yeah, man, Christmas brings out all of the sin issues.
Fun.
So if you want to find out more on this topic, we'll be talking about it on social media this week at Risen Motherhood, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, check out our show notes, risenmotherhood.com. You'll find all of those resources there. So thanks for joining us, and we hope you have a great Advent season.
Ooh, yes.